Today's reading is from Psalm 42 to 43. For the director of music, a mashkal of the sons of Korah. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Where can I go and meet with God? My tears have been my food, day and night. While men say to me all day long, where is your God? These things I remember as I pour out my soul. How I used to go with the multitude, leading the procession to the house of God, with shouts of joy and thanksgiving among the festive throng. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you from the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his son is within me. A prayer to God of my life. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? My bones suffer mortal agony as my foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. You are God my stronghold. Why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning, oppressed by the enemy? Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Then I will go to your altar of God. To God, my joy and my delight, I will praise you with the harp, O God, my God. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we turn to God's word. Father God, please open our eyes to see wonderful things in your word. Strengthen our knowledge, our trust and our love of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? I need to start the sermon today with a warning for Brits who are watching. Today we are thinking about feelings. No, it's not something we find easy, but it is very important. There are times in life where we feel like the psalmist in that verse I just read. When our souls are downcast, we feel no joy, no enthusiasm, just a dull flatness. And when our souls are disturbed, tossed around by fears and anxieties. What do you do when you're downcast and disturbed? These times come to us all. They can be caused by bereavement, the breakdown of relationships, by pressure, or by no apparent reason at all. For many people, the COVID pandemic has made things worse. There are many who are isolated and lonely, pressurised by work and childcare, anxious about their health and finances. As a nation, our mental health, our emotional well-being is being battered. What do you do when you're downcast and disturbed? If we have a faith in God, it can sometimes even seem to make things worse. We may ask, why is God letting me go through this? Does he care? We may even wonder if our faith is genuine. If I was a real Christian, would I be feeling this way? Well, it comes as such a relief to turn to the book of Psalms and to find that over 40 of them are psalms of lament. Psalms written by godly, faithful believers who are in turmoil. Today we look at Psalms 42 and 43. Very probably they were written to go together. They share the same refrain in verse 5, 11, and in Psalm 43, verse 5. Now these psalms don't offer a quick fix, but they do teach us something vital. They show us how to lament. How when we're downcast and disturbed, we can relate to God in a way that is honest and healthy and hopeful. Although these psalms are written hundreds of years before Christ, we will see that he is the key to it all. Because Jesus suffered for us, we are able to relate to God in this way when we are suffering. So what should we do when we're downcast and disturbed? I want to see four themes which are woven together through these psalms. First, pour out your soul. Tell God honestly how you feel. This is what the psalmist does in verse 1. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, the living God. Picture a deer in a David Attenborough documentary. It staggers across the desert. It's been cut off from water for days. It is desperate for something to drink. The psalmist tells God that that is how he feels. He feels cut off from God, the most important relationship in his life. Later he says, "Why have you forgotten me? And why have you rejected me?" That's how he feels. Forgotten and rejected by God. Now he's suffering spiritually. He also tells God he's suffering emotionally. Verse 3, my tears have been my food day and night. He's crying and crying and he can't stop. And he's suffering relationally as well. Later in verse 3, men say to me all day long, where is your God? People are rubbing it in, that they're taunting him. If God really loved you, you wouldn't be in this state. And he tells God as well that he is suffering physically. It's verse 10. My bones suffer mortal agony. Now it's striking that he suffers spiritually, emotionally, relationally and physically all at the same time. Very often these things go together. All these areas are interwoven within us as human beings. Trauma in one area has an impact on all the others. Well, what does the psalmist do? He pours out his soul to God. He tells God honestly how he is feeling. Now notice, the psalmist is not irreverent. He doesn't curse God, but he is respectful. As he tells God what he is feeling and going through honestly. And he brings his questions to God. Why have you forgotten me? Why have you rejected me? This is what the Lord Jesus did on the cross. He cried out to his Father, my God, why have you forsaken me? My friends, in grief and pain, do you pour out your soul to God? If you're anything like me, you find that hard to do. We say, what's the point in telling God how I feel? He knows already. Or, it's too painful to talk about. It'll only make things worse. But actually, communication is vital to relationships. And the first part of relating healthily to God when we're suffering is to tell him how we feel. Now, there are times when suffering is so intense, or feelings are so persistently low that we do need professional and medical help. It is wise and godly to seek that help in those times. But we also need to tell God reverently and also honestly what we are going through and how we feel about it. What should we do when we're downcast and disturbed? Well, first this psalm teaches us, pour out your soul to God. And then second, remember your God. Remember your God. This is what the psalmist does in verse 6. My soul is downcast within me, therefore I will remember you. From the land of the Jordan, the heights of Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep calls to deep in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. Now the heights of Hermon are the mountains where the River Jordan finds its source. It's a place of tumbling waterfalls. And the psalmist feels like he is drowning in torrents and waves as his troubles overwhelm him. But notice, and this is important, he calls them your waterfalls, your waves and breakers. He remembers that even now, God is in control. Even in his troubles, God is in control. There was no suffering in the world God originally made, and there will be no suffering in God's new creation. But even while we live in this present age, this fallen world, God is sovereign. All through the Bible, we are taught that God is always in total control. Only what God permits can happen. Now you might say, that makes my suffering worse. Are you telling me that God is letting this happen? But knowing that God is in control ultimately helps. It tells me that if God is permitting this, he is greater than it, and therefore he will bring me through it. And if God is permitting this, he has a purpose in it, and therefore he will bring good from it, perhaps in ways that we cannot now imagine. So even when he's drowning in sorrows, the psalmist remembers that these are God's waves. God is in control. He also remembers God's love. We see this in verse 8. By day the Lord directs his love. At night his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. Now it's only here in the psalm that the writer uses God's covenant name, the Lord. God's covenant is his binding agreement with his people. The psalmist knows that the Lord has promised to love his people with an unfailing love. So even while he weeps, the psalmist knows that God's love is directed towards him. And if we are trusting in Jesus, we too are part of God's covenant people. His unfailing love is always aimed at us. So when you are downcast and disturbed, remember your God, his control, and his unfailing love. This is why it's so important that when we're not in times of acute suffering, we form solid convictions about God. Now, the Christianity Explored course is so helpful for this. It is as we look at Jesus that we get certain about God. His death convinces us of God's unfailing love, his resurrection of God's total control. We need to form those convictions now in the good times so that we can remember them in the hard. At one time, Martin Luther was in a deep depression. And his wife, Kate, came to him dressed all in black. He asked her, "Why are you dressed like that?" And she said, I'm going to a funeral." "Whose funeral?" he asked. "God's funeral," she replied. And Luther says, "That is preposterous. God can't die. He's seated on the throne forever, unchangeable in his glory and goodness." Well, in this skillful way, Kate Luther helped her husband remember his God. A friend once did the same for me when I was very low, not by dressing in black, but by saying, at a time like this, you need to believe your beliefs. It's wise advice, believe your beliefs. I know that when you're suffering, it feels like there is nothing you can rely on and nothing that is true. But in fact, what we know of God is as true as ever. So remember your God. Trust him. Hold on to what you know of him, even when you can't feel the truth of it, because it is still true. God's control and God's love are the same forever. So when you feel downcast and disturbed, pour out your soul, remember your God, and third, this psalm shows us, cry out for rescue. Now, I'm not going to say too much about this because we discussed it last week in Psalm 13. We saw that it is not wrong when we're suffering to cry out to God for rescue. This is what the psalmist does in Psalm 43, verse 1. Vindicate me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. Rescue me from deceitful and wicked men. He's asking God to lift him up and to rescue him from his enemies. Later in verse 3, he cries out to God again. Send forth your light and your truth. Let them guide me. Let them bring me to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Now he's asking God to guide him back to the place of joyful praise. When you're suffering, don't be too stoic or too stubborn to cry out for rescue. Ask God to lift you from your troubles and guide you to the place where you can praise him. Well, there's one more thing this psalm teaches us to do. Put your hope in God. Put your hope in God. This is perhaps the most important part, since it comes in that refrain three times, in verse 5, in verse 11, and in Psalm 43, verse 5. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Now notice that the psalmist is speaking to himself. Talking to yourself is sometimes regarded as a sign of madness, but it is actually a sign of spiritual sanity. This verse shows us that every Christian should be a preacher, and that your most important sermon is the one you preach to yourself. When you're downcast and disturbed, you need to grab yourself by the lapels and speak God's truth to yourself. That's what the psalmist does. He tells himself, put your hope in God. Now, hope in the Bible is not an uncertain wish. It is a confident expectation. The psalmist tells himself, put your confidence for the future, not in yourself, not in other people, but in God. Now, why? There is a deep logic to this. It is because he is my Saviour and my God. The psalmist doesn't just know about God, he knows God personally. He knows that God is his God, committed to him personally. And so he knows that his God will not leave him in despair. He says, I will yet praise him. Not I might, but I will. God will bring him out of the pits and back to the place of joyful praise. And so he puts his hope, his confidence in God. I will yet praise him, because he is my Saviour and my God. Now, if our hope and trust is in Jesus Christ, we too can put our hope in God. Jesus Christ suffered himself all the terrors of these psalms. On the cross, he wept, his bones were in agony, he was taunted by his enemies. The psalmist felt rejected by God. Jesus was rejected by his Father as he paid himself the penalty for our sins. And through it all, Jesus responded perfectly, pouring out his soul, remembering his God, crying out to God, and putting his hope in God. Because Jesus suffered perfectly for our sins, if our trust is in him, we are restored to right relationship with God. If we trust in Jesus, God is our God, committed to us personally. So, believer in Jesus, however downcast and disturbed you now are, you too have a certain future praising God. He will lift you out of the pit of despair. It may be a short time, it may be a long time. It will certainly be in eternity. Because Jesus suffered for you, you will be with him, praising him forever and ever, your heart bursting and overflowing with thanksgiving and joy. So, Christian believer, are you preaching to yourself? Tell yourself, put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Now, I said at the start that this psalm does not offer a quick fix, but it does teach us how to relate to God when we're downcast and disturbed in a way that is honest and healthy and hopeful. Pour out your soul. Remember your God. Cry out for rescue. Put your hope in God. Now, we can boil this down further and say, when you're suffering, talk to God and talk to yourself. Tell God how you're feeling and tell yourself to put your hope in God, because you will certainly praise him again. Now, it is only Jesus Christ who makes these things possible. It's only because Jesus died for our sins that we can talk to God and actually get through as a son talking to a father. It's only by trusting in Jesus that we have a future, not of terrible separation from God, but of joyful praise. So if you have not yet put your trust in Christ, he is the one you need. Come to him today. Ask him to be your Saviour and your King. Then you will have this relationship with God, this future with him. And if you have those privileges, use them. Talk to God honestly about how you're feeling, and talk to yourself about the glorious future ahead of you. Let's pray. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, who suffered for us, so that we can have a certain future of praising you. Help us in the meantime, as we are downcast and disturbed, to pour out our souls to you, to remember you, to cry out to you, and to put our hope in the future that you have promised us. Amen.